everybody, and welcome to the DieCast. My name is Rootsgar, and with me are my co-hosts, Seamus.
Hi there.
Mumbles.
Don't watch pro wrestling.
Good advice. Chris.
Hello.
And Josh.
You know, Rootsgar seems like really peppy today.
I think this is probably sick a bad sign.
It's probably the half a bottle of Angry Orchard talking. It takes approximately 3 ounces of alcohol to make my just wasted body.
Oh man, you're just like a raging drunk right now.
Yeah, no, I basically have the body of like a hummingbird. So let's not dwell too much on my limbic systems, and let's instead move on to the video game systems that we've been playing, presumably, for this podcast. We do have video game stuff to talk about this week, don't we?
I was going to talk about like food or something, but
it's, as long as it's not plumbing related. I still have not entirely forgiven you for that.
It was important. I had to share my pain.
You know, the commenters
you did.
Encouraged you.
You did. You were successful.
I do this show every week where I get paid to share my pain with people. It's great. It's a great setup.
It's like therapy, except it's without the people that are obliged to care about you.
So what are we talking about?
Yeah, but I mean, I get paid for it, so.
Also that part. So this week, we are going to be playing Fallout 4 while we record the podcast, probably. Okay, so hands up who here
really
just closed Fallout 4 to do this podcast.
I did.
I have not played Fallout 4 in 16 hours.
That's impossible.
I just woke up.
Yeah, I just woke up too.
Playing Fallout 4.
But I
in my brain.
But I've been playing Fallout 4 nonstop for about a day and a half.
Actually, Fallout 4 has been giving me nightmares. I've been playing it so much, but they're not like, oh my god. Actually, I've had a couple dreams where I've woken up because I was afraid a Deathclaw would fucking eat my face. But for whatever reason, playing Fallout 4 until I fall asleep every day has made me have really crazy, fucked up dreams. Like, the other day I had a dream I was walking by the Boston Harbor, and I looked in the harbor and there's all these dead bodies, and I was like, huh, those guys don't look like real people. The game engine. Huh. And then I, like, kept walking. That was my dream. That was my dream.
So
that
was a dream I had. That's the quintessential Fallout experience right there.
Right?
Man, this is a cool set piece. Too bad it looks awful.
I feel like seeing bodies and not being surprised is an essential part of the Mumbles experience.
Right. That's true. So, that's very true.
So you weren't having nightmares about playing Honest Hearts.
Oh, Joshua, I'm going to punch you in your stupid dumb face.
So I and Chris have not got the chance to talk about our Fallout 4 experiences on the podcast so far. Chris,
I hear you guys don't like it as much.
I don't know where you heard that. I don't know who told you that.
I don't know. This little thing called Twitter.
So the pinned tweet on my thing for a while has been, I'm having a lot of fun with Fallout 4, and I can't wait until Obsidian makes a role-playing game out of it. That was a little hasty. It was just a little bit hasty. I think that it is an RPG, but I think that it is like an action exploration open-world game first. Like, I think it's a little more like Mad Max than like the original Fallout games, or even like New Vegas or Fallout 3. Like, I think it shares more of that kind of stalker almost DNA, where like your character is your character. It's a little bit set, and you don't get a lot of really juicy choices. But you know, it's a complete game for what it is. So I can't be mad at it for not being what I maybe would have really wanted it to be.
In fairness, I mean, Skyrim was basically the same way. I think the real difference is that it's more pronounced and more obvious here because they're really trying to do like a Witcher 3 Deus Ex Human Revolution sort of game.
I mean, it actually shares a lot of DNA with the Elder Scrolls games more than it shares it with the Fallout games. You know, like even if you go to Fallout 3, the dialogue in that game for your character is pretty shitty. Especially if you compare it to like the varying degrees of voices and like kind of perspectives you can present in New Vegas. But
I mean, I don't know if you need to specify the player dialogue specifically in Fallout 3. It's all bad.
No. My point is that, like, but even so, you can play a much more distinct character in Fallout 3 than you do in, you know, Oblivion through Arena, where yeah. at best your dialogue responses are just like, what genre of fact do I want to have pumped into my ear hole? And do I want to continue with this quest or stop continuing with this quest? You know, with like occasional dalliances with choices. And it feels like they're returning to that kind of, your character is an avatar with which you can experience content more than your character is something that like you have to nourish. And I've been playing like a character.
But is your character the avatar? Is this actually Ultima 12? I don't remember how many Ultimas there were.
Years ago, I made fun of BioWare in one of my comics that I used to do, where it had somebody saying, Commander Shepard, can I punch you in the dick? And your options, it showed the dialogue wheel, and it was like, sure, or I guess. And then your other option was like, only a little. And that feels even more true here in Fallout. There are so many times where you've got four choices that are all yes or all no. And it is so frustrating. And this was something that happened in Skyrim where you'd like go through a dialogue and you kept having one choice to make. And I'm like, well, why are you showing me one choice? What? That is not a choice.
It's pretty much so they've done yes, it. What yeah. yes, sarcastic yes, and no yes.
Would you like to respond the way the game would like you to respond, or would you like you to throw your computer out the window?
Exactly. And this, so they didn't fix that problem where you only have one choice, but now you can choose the tone of voice for your one choice, and it is even more baffling. It is so baffling. Why did you record four ways of saying the same stupid thing?
So I've sort of just had to get over that. And yeah, there's been a couple quests that I think like touch the kind of quest you'd get in like the first few Fallout games. Like the quest you get in Diamond City where, you know, very mild spoilers, there's like a drug deal going on that like you can crash. Like that is a couple different ways that can go. And I felt like I was, you know, it's not like I had a bunch of different options, but they didn't really present them as, like, dialogues I was picking so much as, like, actions I would take that seemed logical and reasonable to me. So, you know, it wasn't so much like, oh, I get, like, two things I can do in this conversation, so I'm going to pick one that makes sense. It's like, oh, there's, like, maybe two things that ways this can go, but since it's not telling me there's two ways this can go, it feels like I'm making a more interesting decision than I really am.
Yeah.
That quest actually surprised me, because there's like, actual Fallout, if you'll pardon the pun that I accidentally made and then realized I was going to make. For that quest, like, there will be certain reactions from other NPCs, like in my case, the dude who I killed, his dad rolled up and was like, hey, I heard you killed my son, and I was really surprised that it even gave any kind of a shit about making there be consequences. They're not realistic consequences, because I responded with, yeah, I killed your son, but I'm really sorry about it. And he was like, okay, whatever.
Fuck me. Can I just...
Oh, wow.
I'm so sorry, but can I just go off on this while I'm still mad? This game could have been really good for what it is. But it's only pretty good because the writing in this game is so fucking bad.
Can I spoil a quest for you guys?
Do it. We're gonna have to put spoiler warnings on this anyway. So do it.
I've been doing pretty good about like not being taken out of the experience by the silliness, because so far I've just sort of accepted that the game's just silly, right? But there's
it's
this
a lot
Arkham
easier to do that than in Fallout 3.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So there's an Arkham Asylum quest that you can do in this game. And basically what it is there's this guy, and he's been keeping his family alive for like 400 years because they found this alien artifact And then you find out that his dad is wearing this alien artifact crown, and they locked him in the bottom of this, I know, they locked him in the bottom of this asylum. And
what, Ra's al Ghul is in this game?
Yeah, well, I don't want to get into Batman specifics, Josh, but it's a little bit different with Ra's al Ghul. So they call it Parsons State Insane Asylum, which I don't think is a real thing, but it's based on Danvers State Hospital, which is the inspiration for Arkham by Lovecraft, and that's the inspiration for Arkham Asylum in Batman, if that makes sense for the people paying attention at home. So, like, it's this long chain of, this is Arkham Asylum! Yay! So, the interior actually kind of looks like the Arkham Asylum game a little bit. They have the same kind of courtyards, the same kind of, like, cells. The architecture outside kind of looks like Arkham 2, which I thought was cool. And I was like, oh, this is neat. This is the thing I like. I like Arkham. I like Batman. So then, anyway, you get to the basement, and the son is like, don't open that door, don't let my dad out, he's super powerful, he is getting more powerful every day. And I'm like, oh, well, clearly I need to destroy him. So, like, I go in, I open the chamber, of course, and I fight him, and the fight is super boring. It's just sort of like fighting someone with a lot of HP who doesn't do a lot of damage. It was so boring. But then you get through it, and you can't take his fucking crown. You cannot take his crown. It's attached to his fucking head. So you can't have this item. You cannot have his crown.
We just
can't
even.
You cannot have it. You cannot. So you kill this guy. You can't have his crown. You cannot have it. It is not yours. So you're like, all right, I killed this dude. He's not a threat anymore. And then you go back to the guy's house. And he's like, thanks for killing my dad. I'm going to do experiments on his crown. I was like, no, that's not what I wanted you to do. I didn't want you to do experiments. That's why I killed him. That's why I murdered him. And then he's like, I'll do experiments. And then you come back a week later and he made you a gun. It's so Bethesda. It's screaming Bethesda. It's like, you did this quest. Have a free gun.
I turned the crown into a gun so that you can shoot people with it.
I've been playing a persuasive character. That sort of thing has been bothering me too, by the way. But the thing I'm angry about is I've been playing a persuasive character, which means I get a lot of options to persuade people, and I keep picking perks which make me more persuasive, like the Black Widow shit, which I don't know if that's a good idea, because I already have a charisma of 10 or whatever the fuck. So,
yeah, me too.
At this point?
Speaking of which, what happened to the gay perks?
Doesn't matter. They decided that was too hard for them to have their new system. So,
and they probably decided they didn't want to have 4 perks. Although I guess it would be 2.
Game designers, they stole about half of Obsidian's game design choices for this game. Things to say, also against them, they didn't steal the other half. I don't entirely endorse the statement I just made, but anyway, the point is, there's a lot of times where you get to, like, persuade somebody for, like, a special choice, and every time Bethesda does this, it's like a gentle, like, slap to the face. Just like a gentle one. It's like you asked them to do you a favor, and they did you something kind of like the favor, like, hey, Bethesda, I really like persuading people and, like, having cool social things happen, because I'm a charming person. And Bethesda's like, oh, we can do that. We could absolutely have you just be able to change our beautiful quests by, like, saying a thing. And then something completely different that we have to script can happen. Sure, just like that. Just like magic. That's what it'll be. It'll be like magic. I remember the first time this ever pissed me off was actually in Fallout 3. And I was, like, did not have a very refined palette when I first played Fallout 3. I didn't think the writing was stupid when I first played it. But this was the thing that, like, gave me pause, is the antagonizer. You're trying to convince the antagonist, and she's like, oh, I'm so evil, ma-ha-ha. And I had, like,
dumb dialogue, superhero quest.
And I'm like, but maybe you shouldn't be evil. And she's like, I can't. Just like someone as cool as you loving me, I can't. And it's literally that one dialogue. I choose one dialogue response, and suddenly your character does a 180. And she's just like, drooling all over me and changing her entire moral and ethical framework because I'm handsome. And that is all over the place in Fallout 4. It's like, you know, haha, I'm this person's partner. I'm like, maybe we should go home. But she's like, oh my god, you're right. What am I doing with my life? I should be evil. I should go to my parents. And it's one dialogue.
It's almost like you're a Jedi.
And then I load it, and I choose the other dialogue, which is, you should kill him. And she's like, yeah, sorry, I'm going to kill you now, because I'm really evil. And neither of them felt especially in character, for what I know about her, and for how she'd been acting in the scene up to that point. And in both cases, she was choosing things that didn't make any sense to her. And this just keeps happening.
Yeah.
Like, I have a dialogue persuasive. Sorry, I'm going to stop.
I keep missing the Fallout New Vegas. It's not even necessarily just the persuasive things that they did. It was the personality things that they did. Like, I watched it, like, a 20-minute video on all of the low intelligence options that you have in Fallout New Vegas. So if you make a character that has, like, one intelligence, you get new dialogue options that are like, well, my favorite one was an NCR guy runs up to and he's like, oh, those raiders are in that camp, but don't worry, I'll flush the snakes out. And your character goes, what? Snakes aren't that scary. Aren't they just small little green squiggly things? Just step on them. And the guy's like, oh, you're one of those special types. Like, and there's all kinds of options like that. Like, there's another one where if you talk to the doctor that can, your doctor companion or whatever that you can find, you're like, oh, will you go out into the wasteland and explore with me? And he's like, why would I want to travel with someone with you? You don't like science, you're not that smart. And he's like, being in the wasteland hard, and you need to be smart, and you be smart for me? Like, and it's so funny. And, like, you can't do shit like that in Fallout 4. You can't make your character into this thing because they've already made a mold, and the mold of your character is pretty close. Like, there's not a very wide spectrum of what your character could be, which kind of sucks.
I wouldn't mind there being a preset character. I mean, I obviously would prefer Fallout to be an actual role-playing game where we get to define our roles, but under the pretense that we have to sort of, in a voiced game, sort of have slight nudges in a preset character, I wouldn't mind that so much if we actually had a character. What we have is, like, a vague Nolan North protagonist, I'm playing as a dude, who is just like
not actually Nolan North,
generic protagonist man who can be slightly sarcastic or a nice guy, but that's like, there's no character there. There's no meat to hang any decision off of. Like, even losing Sean, it's just sort of like, and going forward in the future and losing your wife, you don't mourn any of that. You immediately are like, oh, caps are currency now? Cool, how do I get caps? I want to buy some stuff.
He doesn't even say that. He doesn't even say that. The first person gives you caps, and he's like, he never says, why are you giving me bottle caps? What's wrong with you? Like, he never is introduced to this universe. It's like he's played Fallout before. You know, he's just like...
So I'm really trying...
When he gets out of the fridge, he's like... giant roaches, but then, like, literally 25 minutes later, he fights a Deathclaw, and he has nothing to comment on it. He's just completely acclimated to the entire thing.
That's, like, the other part that made me, like, there's, like, three or four times where I've really, like, wanted to just do this writing myself, to just go in and do it myself, like, fuck it.
Yeah!
I want to make it this way. I don't want it to be made the way that you made it. But one of those was where, like, you're in the vault, and I'm like, you're reacting to a few things. I'm like, okay. And then you're reacting to everything, and I'm like, you need to shut the fuck up. You need to stop talking about how this looks to you, because I'm trying to get into my character here, and this is actually making it harder, because a lot of the things you're saying are not
smart. That's a new trend. That's a new trend with gaming, and we're going to see that a whole lot more, is... like, the protagonist character be like, wow, look at that mountain. Whoa, that looks real scary. Oh, that's a thing that I've never seen before. That shit that I've seen in, like, all of these new trailers, they have characters doing that.
I'm okay with it as long as it's you doing the voice like that.
Me? Golly! I would totally do it.
Couldn't get Nolan North to record extra lines, so they called you in. See, it works much better with characters like Geralt, because they are pretty well set up in the universe, and they have, and you kind of understand that you're not like inventing this character whole cloth, and what you can do is maybe alter their perspective a bit, but they have their own personality and their own preconceptions about the world. In that context, it makes sense to have the character emoting and commentating upon what's going on, much less so than what you would expect from a Bethesda game, where you would kind of expect to be able to just kind of invent your character. Even at that, this game is pushing really hard in the direction of, like, nope, you have a particular backstory. Like, if you're the male player character, you're, like, a former soldier. Like, this is mentioned in the prologue segment. And if you're a female player character, you're a former lawyer.
I like how you're always a law degree. It doesn't matter if your special is 10 points in strength,
yeah.
10 points in endurance, and fuck all and everything else. You're a lawyer.
Hey, I'm good at law because I'm real strong looking, and I walk up and I'm like, Your Honor, and he's like, whatever you want.
Objection, you want to wrestle? Is that what's going
on? Exactly. My client can't be guilty. Would I be able to bench press him like this if he was guilty? That's the end of my argument. That's it.
How did you pass the bar? The arm bar? Did you say something about an arm bar?
The certificate to practice law is like written in crayon, and nobody wants to actually come up and contradict you over it because they're so intimidated.
I feel the need to disclose it. I don't know if it's been a fluke, but I've actually felt like I've been able to play a very consistent and interesting feeling character. But I've experienced doing this with Bethesda games before, like where I find sort of like I try to work with the prompt I'm given. And just kind of, like, figure it out within the first hour, like, who my character is. And I feel like I've actually sort of been able to do that, and within the constraints of the game, I've been able to make a character I like that feels mine, like it's mine.
No, it's just I don't feel that way at all. I have not been able to get into a groove of role-playing. And part of it's my fault. I'm not going with a hardcore... I'm doing my normal character, which is sort of, like, combat-able, but not necessarily... prone to combat as first choice, emphasis on pickpocketing and charisma with, you know, maybe some basic weapon skills to back that up when he finds himself in a corner. That is not working at all for me in this game. And I am basically falling back to I'm finding that all my skills end up leveling up at about the same rate in the sense that, like, which is, it's probably by design, but, you know, I need luck so that I can get critical hits. I need strength so that my carry weight is high enough. I need endurance. I need agility. I need all of them because it all boils down to combat stats, and I need all the combat stats, and I need perks, all the perks, and it's just...
I mean, isn't there no level cap? Can't you just... eventually make a perfect character that has all of the stuff.
And it also level gates you so that, like, it's really hard to specialize in this game because, like, you can't get the, you know, you'd expect, like, maybe if they'd done it where, like, I think it would be okay if they'd done it where, like okay, sneak is, I think, an agility 3 skill. And as you level it up, you run into this sort of, like, oh, you have to be level, like, whatever, and sneak 3 to get, or agility 3 to get it. And the agility requirement never changes. If they'd done it where, like, as you level up the perk, you require a higher agility requirement rather than tying it to level...
Yeah, that's how it should be.
So if you wanted
to
specialize in sneak, you know, you had to really pump that agility up rather than just go like, okay, I have an agility of like 5-ish. You know, I've got the sneak perk and I've got the ninja perk, and that's basically all I need for a sneak build. So okay.
Yeah, everybody with an agility of 3 can become a master sneaker, but everybody has to wait until level 27 before they can, like, you know, get to the top level of it. No matter how agility you are.
Go ahead, Red Skarn.
And at this point, like, all I want is I want the rest of Black Widow, whether or not it actually does anything. I want the rest of the perk where you could, like, hold people at gunpoint, because that's actually pretty rad. I want the rest of, like, the terminals and the lockpicking, and then I'm fucking done. I don't give a shit about the rest of it. It's moving numbers and directions, and I don't really care. That's what I want to feel like this is my character.
See, that's the weird thing to me, though, is it doesn't feel like a character. Like, in the old games, you had to make sacrifices, and Bethesda has painfully, painstakingly removed every con, every negative, every catch to every single perk. Like, remember when chem resistant meant that, like, you had far less benefit from chems, but you just simply didn't get addicted? Now it's like chem resistance is just, you're immune to addiction. No downsides to it. Same thing with character build.
I'm not sure that's a great example, because chem resistant was totally worthless in its older state, because, like, you could just go and get your addictions cleared from a doctor whenever you needed to.
Well, it costs
if addictions
caps.
Meant more, that would be a useful perk, but...
It's well, almost but... like... I was going to say, I almost feel like the way that you see role-playing, I feel like you could have done it more in Skyrim than in this game. Because in Skyrim, like, I made a character that was only good at shooting bows and arrows, only good at lockpicking, sneaky sneak, joined all the sneaky sneak, like, guilds, wouldn't join the Adventurers Guild because, like, whatever. And, like, that was
super,
my way
super
of...
super disappointed by the sneaky sneak guild storyline.
Right. But, like, still, those were the things that I picked, and I could play the game that way. Like, I could go through a whole dungeon sneaky sneaking, shooting my arrow. So, like, I don't... But this game, to me, I feel like you need to be just well-rounded. I think that you need to be a well-rounded character. You can't really specialize
much. It's a very Bethesda sort of thing, it feels like, where they don't ever want you to be able to make a wrong choice.
Right. Yeah.
Which is so disappointing. That makes it feel like there aren't any choices. You don't feel like... you're making any sacrifice. There's no... I've never had to level up and like, oh, I really want this, but I also really want this.
I can respect some of the thinking behind it, because I'm really annoyed in RPGs where I make a build and then I realize that my build is completely unviable and the only option I have is to either suffer through the game using this really lame build or restart. But I think there are more elegant ways to solve it. Like by just allowing really easy respecs. Maybe that doesn't fit role-playing wise into the game to suddenly be able to change your specialization all the way from, you know, big fat dumb warrior that hits things with a wooden club to a wizard that, you know, bends time, but it's better than...
Well, that
than
definitely doesn't fit Fallout,
to...
so...
No, I'm talking general RPG stuff. But it seems better to me to have that option in the event that you really screw stuff up, versus like making it so that you can't screw up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for Mike, go ahead, Grit.
Damn it! Me and Red Skarn are getting fights over this stuff. No, you go ahead, because my point was more general. So you go ahead.
We're like pigeons fighting over not getting the bread.
Well, fine, I'll talk about it. 3 months ago, I had to replace my kitchen faucet.
Fuck you.
Oh, no.
I'm talking. It's my time. Get your eyelids down. Okay. So, with my character, I have been not wearing any armor. I've been wearing, like, the street clothes. And that's, like, kind of made my character feel like how I feel my character should be. Which is not, like, a particularly tough badass, but, because, you know, I'm a fucking lawyer. But, like, that is something artificial that I've had to add in to make my character feel more appropriate. And also, just, can I say, like, so, is it just, am I wrong that pretty much the only way to wear the armor pieces, which are hideous, is to put them over your Vault 111 jumpsuit?
There's a few other pieces of clothing. There's the long johns and
the.
I
the
only wear my silver shroud outfit. I don't wear anything else. Only silver shroud. So, that is it. Yeah. And you can upgrade it if you save Kent. he upgrades it for you, and so it gradually becomes a better piece of armor, and it's awesome. So that's all I wear.
Army fatigues, because they have plus one strength and agility on them, which is pretty decent for clothing.
All those things...
But yeah, is there any overriding reason to not be able to, like, wear armor over a suit?
All those things are fucking ugly, and why? That's how I feel about that.
Yeah.
I feel very strongly about this. I especially felt shitty that, like, apparently my character thought it was a good idea to, like, okay, what should I wear under this armor? How about the jumpsuit I wore when I was tricked into climbing into a hole that my husband climbed out of? How about
you can also wear road leathers and long johns.
Long johns, army fatigues.
I wish I could wear my pretty dress. Like, that would look so cool if you're wearing, like, the pink flower dress and you have, like, pieces of armor on.
Obsidian.
I don't remember where I found that at all. I had it, and it was like plus three charisma, so it was like, okay, I'll put this on when I'm buying stuff.
Obsidian would include like 15% less game, but god damn it, you would be able to wear the dress with the armor.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, fuck yeah.
I was just going to say, it confuses me when people say that they have a so-and-so build set up, because the stat system really is, because of the level caps, designed to make you a well-rounded character, like we were saying. So it's bizarre to me when people say that they have, like, I'm running a charisma-based character or a strength-based character, and it's like, kind of, but not really. I don't see how you possibly could. Because no matter what, even if you've got 10 strength, that gives you a high carrying capacity, but...
You sound like an RPG hipster right now, Camster. Let these people enjoy what they're doing. They put all of their stats into one column, and they're real proud of themselves, and maybe one day they'll play Pillars of Eternity and understand what real role-playing looks like. But for now, this is Beba's first RPG. Like, you just have to accept that.
Mumbles is right. This is my first RPG. I've never played a game before. I'm not sure what
you were really into shooters
levels
before
then. Do I need
no,
like
what
a
what is
leveler?
This stuff?
Rutskar
well,
is a
gee, I guess
Quake
I'll be
player?
Charisma. Charisma.
Yeah,
there
I
we
like
go.
Charisma
I fixed
Carpenter.
The problem.
She's been in some really good television shows about vampires.
Can I say I put a bunch of points into luck at the start, and I hate VATS.
Why?
In this game.
Why?
I don't like VATS very much.
It's terrible.
VATS sucks in this game.
The one advantage of VATS was that, like, it stops time, and they took that away.
Oh,
yeah.
But
well,
it's boring.
They made the rest of the gameplay actually fun to play in, so VATS feels a lot less, like, meaningful now to use.
Yeah.
Well, that also
Although
feels less cheaty.
Ridiculous like, animations.
Well, it sounds. Here's my problem with VATS. It feels less like an awesome strategic way to tackle for certain guys, especially since. And I don't know if this is true or not, but it seems like crippling has either been removed or severely reduced in relevance. I don't ever notice it anymore.
Yeah, I have shot people in the head 17 times, and it didn't really do too much to their ability to shoot at me.
But,
if you
but
shoot
that,
their arms, though. Their arms do cripple. I've crippled.
Do they drop the guns? Is like
yeah.
What happens?
And they're
literally,
like they're
can...
like ah my arm, and then they like drop their gun and they just kind of like ugh, and then you go over and you super sledge their brain.
This is extremely likely to happen if you're using a melee weapon.
One pro tip is that whenever you get into like a thing where like your NPCs want to talk at each other, like it's the Game of the Rings. Or, like, your companion wants to talk to, like, all the guys holding guns and waiting to get to the point where they're mandatory going to shoot you. Just, like, sneak over there and steal all of their ammo.
Oh! Can I give a really great pro tip that I'm really excited about that I was, like, super, like... Okay, so this isn't a big spoiler. You go into the Institute, and when you go in, there's all this shit laying around... And it's not stealing. You can just take it. And it's got, like, gears and aluminum and steel and things that you need for your settlement. So right now, I'm playing Santa Claus. I go in, I fill my pack full of just shit that I find lying around in the Institute, and then I go back to my settlements and go, we're making turrets! and jukeboxes and light fixtures, and it's so much fun. So before you piss off the Institute like I'm probably going to do, steal all their stuff first and then piss them off. That is my... It's not even stealing. It's just taking.
I found a technological wonderland filled with amazing technologies that can prolong human life. Here, I brought this microscope, this medical equipment, this stuff for healing, and I think we should tear it apart and use it to build bigger guns.
But, I mean, that to me is so Mumbles. Like, oh, wow, look at this nerd shit. We're going to make guns. Like, that's the most, like, Mumbles roleplaying I've ever heard. I was so excited.
Let's get the jukebox set up because the radio is bullshit.
Yeah.
My point.
Chris's point.
my point back on the vets before we got off topic on stealing from the Institute was more Mumble stop giggling.
Sorry.
Was simply that VATS to me is less of a slow motion tactical thing because they've reduced the accuracy so much and the ability to cripple. And now it's more like a glorifying watching Chris miss things from 3 feet away slow motion video simulator. Yeah. Like, it's just embarrassing.
Space bar.
I actually do like
the crit system.
I felt like I used to be less accurate than VATS a little bit. Now I'm definitely more accurate.
I would like the crit system if they hadn't sacrificed random critical hits on the altar of the new crit system. So now I can't just crit stuff outside of VATS unless I'm sneaking, which may or may not technically count as a crit. Yes, there are no crits in this game.
Other than the super crit that is manual?
Yes.
Correct. I did not know that. That kind of sucks. Now I don't like that system.
Yeah, it means why my luck build kind of sucks, because I don't like using VATS.
It just means that luck should now be everybody's first dump stat. I mean, why would you put points into luck?
It's useful in a sneak build because you can like hit stuff from farther away than you can normally hit stuff. A melee sneak build, I should say. It's useful in a melee sneak build where you want to hit stuff with swords and kill people. Shish Kebab is still in this game, by the way, so that's always fun. It's not any good because the fire damage doesn't scale with the melee damage perks, but whatever. It's a fire sword, so whatever. You have to use it for your sneak build because that's the point. But it's useful for a melee sneak build because the range that you can hit stuff in VATS is much higher than the range you can hit stuff outside of VATS, and you get perks to increase that, so... That's kind of useful, I guess, but like everything else about VATS, I don't really particularly like.
So I have one negative thing to say now, which hadn't really occurred to me to say, but I need to come back around to. So I've been talking about how I've been role playing a character. I feel like I've been able to do it. There's been a definite casualty of that, which is that I have not been able to do any of the settlement shit. Like, they're like, hey, can you help us build a settlement out here in the middle of Bumblefuck while your son is... Oh, you're leaving right now.
How dare you? How dare you?
I literally never even started that. Preston was like, hey, you want to go and check this place out?
Settlements,
like, sure.
They're the best part of the fucking game.
Yeah, they really are.
It's going to be so much fun, and I really want to do it, but I'm like, it feels really wrong, and it would really seriously critically impair my enjoyment of this game to be so irresponsible. Like, I could go, like, kill some drug dealers outside the city or whatever, because I need assets. I'm practical. Like, I'm adapting to this situation. But there's nothing practical or pragmatic or helpful about setting up, like, the power for some guy so he can watch television out there in the middle of the...
No. What you need... Here's how it helps your quest to find your son. What you do is you start your settlement, you get a farm going that grows corn, mute fruit, and potatoes.
Oh no.
Equal amounts of all of those. And then you have your people out here in the wasteland, starving, fighting for life, grow food for you. And then once the food is grown, you take all the food and you use it to turn it into vegetable starch, which is an adhesive, so that you can begin upgrading your guns, and they can go hungry.
Yes.
Oh, man. I actually feel like none upgrading.
You do need your settlement. No, you do need the settlement to progress the game. If you haven't been collecting shit and getting stuff and putting it into your workshop, you can't progress the main storyline. So suck on that, Rutskarn.
Wait, really?
I can't wait until I get mad at that. Okay.
Yeah, really.
I've been upgrading the settlements that exist. I just haven't done any of the other quests to like go and help this particular settlement.
Oh yeah, that's different. But you do need to like put some time into your actual settlement, or at least one of them.
My settlement? I don't have a goddamn settlement. As far as I'm concerned, some assholes wandered out north. And I was like, bye, have a good one in the wasteland.
It
doesn't help that Preston Garvey is, in a game filled with bad, boring characters, he is the baddest and the most blandiest. He is all wrong. He is the wrongest character in Fallout 4. Everything about the writer's instinct.
Hey, do you guys want to hear my impression of Preston Garvey?
Go for it.
It's important in the wasteland that we help people. So anyway, can you help me?
Yeah. He's so bad. Every word that comes out of his mouth is just 100% wrong. Like, the writer had no idea how to do their job.
Yeah. It's that, like, Preston Garvey almost, like, made me give up, actually.
Hey, like, what you said earlier, something. You said earlier when you hear some dialogue, it makes you want to write it. I get that same thing every time I hear Preston Garvey. I'm like, okay, I know I could fix this character in literally 2 hours. Give me this guy's dialogue before you record it. I can, without having to change any quests, I could fix this entire character by just not making him a boring, stupid waste of time. There are so many interesting things you could do with him.
I think the other characters, though, are good. I don't think it's fair to say game full of boring characters, because I've actually, like, in my quest to find love in the wasteland, I've actually warmed up to Hancock. I think he's great. And he's got a great...
Still a shame you can't romance Nick.
You can't. But, I mean, I kind of get it. Like, I think that he might be, like, too old... I guess, if that makes sense.
You're
like,
he comes older than he is!
Not mentally. Mentally, I'm like 20 or 30. Like, it doesn't...
20 or
30. You know, like... one of those. I'm not really sure, to be honest. Like, but yeah, no, 14.
14 is the number.
Try 14. No, but the other characters are really, really good. Like, a lot of people have told me that, like, Piper is, like, the coolest... I haven't had a lot of time to hang out with her, but...
The characters are very hit and miss. I think I would put it that way. Sometimes the characters are great, and then sometimes they are just so bad. I mean, not just like...
And then sometimes Mayor McCready is in this game.
Yeah.
I wanna spoil something to do with that, but I won't, because it's a really fun thing.
He seems somebody's gonna pike me for this, but from the very little that I've interacted with him, he seems like not terrible anymore.
He's right. Fine.
He is. If we didn't know him from Fallout 3, like, we might even like him.
He was from Little Lamplight, and I can't forgive that.
He's okay. I mean, he's still an obnoxious prick, but it's a little bit better now that he's not, like, a 4-year-old.
And he kind of understands that he's an obnoxious prick.
Although, he's still unkillable, so there's that.
Yeah, well, everybody in this fucking game is unkillable, so I tried to murder lots of people.
Ask him how I know he's unkillable.
You looked it up on the internet. You opened up the game files using the toolkit. And you checked for the flag that makes him invulnerable. Is that how you did it?
You checked to see if he was essential.
I just imagine you walking into the little room that he's in where you first meet him, and you just see him, and then just throwing a Molotov down on the ground. Like, we're gonna burn! And just, like, everybody in the room is screaming.
I'm here to give you my sob story. Oh, God!
I shot him in the head, and then I pistol whipped him, and then I threw a Molotov on him when he hit the ground. And then he got up.
That's
I'm like,
epic.
Should I even reload my save? How little of an effect did this have?
I do think it's interesting that Bethesda decided after Skyrim, nah, you can't get your companion characters killed.
I know. I like, never wanted to kill Lydia. I never ever wanted to kill her, and I accidentally killed her several times. I definitely want to kill some people in this game, and I can't. Why is it always backwards?
And, like, they gave us the hilarious articles, like, the Rock, Paper, Shotgun Chronicles of, like, Lydia got killed and the guy dragged him up a mountain and buried her.
Yeah.
Or turned you into a ring.
My favorite article about
Or
Skyrim
if you're Mumbles.
Was that one guy who had, like, Thornir from the Barrel Quest, where, like, you recruit this guy who wants you to go into this barrel with him and kill some vampire, and... it's like a temporary companion. So he's like, all right. And so Lydia immediately goes home and he's got Thornir. And he goes in there and he's like, I can't even defeat this dungeon. It's too hard for me. I'm going to have to come back. So he leaves, but Thornir won't leave. Thornir follows him everywhere. Thornir has like two lines of dialogue and they're whining about his wife. And he always keeps saying it, despite the fact that you actually kill his wife because his wife is a vampire. Thornir will turn hostile if you accidentally hit him once, and he's unkillable, and he will be still be hostile even after he gets up.
Wow.
So, basically, there's an immortal, murderous guy following you around everywhere.
He won't accept items, he won't sneak, he was just like the albatross. that was pretty great.
But that's Fallout 4.
This is Fallout 4. It's very different. It's very interesting.
It's very different in that it's very much the same.
I'm enjoying it despite the fact that, you know, a lot of it is kind of dumb bullshit. The rest of it's pretty good bullshit. How about that? I still think this game would be way better if somebody else made it. Like, everything to do with, like... words and like decisions with the basics of how a player should interact with the world, but I mean, that's, you know, they did a good job with everything else, which is a lot. I mean, I'm not,
you know what it feels like,
give it a backhanded insult. What's up?
It feels like in a world where RPGs never existed but ARPGs did, this is a bold step forward to making an ARPG that feels like you're really there and there's a story and there are characters and not everything is just meant to be killed, and they're just now figuring out how to do storytelling. And it's this really bizarre, like, as an RPG, it's terrible. As an ARPG, it is one of the most in-depth, expansive ARPGs I've ever played.
That's fair.
I love how Bethesda is so proud of their four-option dialogue wheel that everybody else has had for ages, and it is this terrible, rudimentary, like, they didn't realize that the four options needed to have different effects. Like, they played the other games, and they didn't realize that was the point. They just thought it was tone of voice.
Maybe somebody could confirm or deny this, but so far, every time I've chosen it, sarcasm has been exactly as bad as you would expect sarcasm to be.
It is. The best mod that currently exists for Fallout 4 is the mod that turns the dialogue system back into a traditional dialogue system.
Yeah, sarcasm really feels like one of those things where, like, if you just point at a random person and say, have a sarcastic response to this, and they're like, okay. Like, it sounds like the first thing they come up with, where you're like, hey, do you want some water? And they're like, oh yeah, water, because I love drinking that. And behind their eyes, you can see that they're not sure why they're doing this. Also, I really hate how sarcastic is actually a really bad dialogue prompt to choose, because you have no idea what it means.
Yeah, you don't know when it's like, do you want to come with me? And is that, oh yeah, because I don't have anything better to do? Or is that sarcastic agreement? Like I actually don't know what I'm choosing.
There are some good sarcastic options. Like, I recently was talking to Nick, and he was telling me about his backstory and mentioned, like, how he was a robot and everything. And, like, obviously he's a robot. And the sarcastic response was, Nick, you're a robot? What else have you been hiding from me? Which I chuckled at.
And you can kind of like give him a hard time about being a synth if you pick the sarcastic options, like, oh, so your nuts and bolts can't get me to this place, what good are you? And he's just like, all right, smart ass. And you're like,
oh boy, he doesn't like the bad things that I do.
Do bad things.
I've been almost uniformly.
Do bad things.
Mumbles 2015. Don't do bad things. All right, we're done here, people.
You're a synth. You're a synth. The real Mumbles would never say that.
You guys asked for do bad things. Content on the internet. Here you go. All right, Chris.
Do
sorry,
nice
we,
things.
We drowned you out a minute ago.
No, I was just going to say I've been almost uniformly kind of negative here, and I'd like to say one positive thing, and that is that. At least compared to Fallout 3, the Brotherhood of Steel here is a very big improvement. It doesn't go dark enough. Like the Bethesda games are very afraid of alienating and hurting players. So it really, it's weird for a game full of like blood sacks and gore and horrible things. They really don't go dark thematically at all. They stay away from the old Fallout and New Vegas's dark tones. New Vegas had stories about like serious stuff about slavery, and the Bethesda Fallouts don't really like go there. Anyway, tangential. The Bethesda or the Brotherhood of Steel here, they are in fact kind of racist towards anything non-human, and they are very much sort of techno-fascist and trying to keep technology out of the hands of anyone but them, and that. Is Brotherhood of Steel, and it's much closer to Brotherhood of Steel as we understand them than wacky walking Technotron from
religion at this point.
It kind of was though, wasn't it? I mean, it's a Brotherhood kind of military, kind of religious.
It was a little bit less overt in the other games. It was like, we like technology, we want to take technology and hoard it, but it wasn't like Paladin Dance's rant about, like, technology was what caused the terrible destruction that befell us during the war, so nobody should ever be able to control it except us for some reason.
But that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's where Bethesda still is a little bit wrong with at least how I remember the Brotherhood being. Where the Brotherhood used to be like, you know, it's not that technology is really powerful, guys, and we should be really, really careful. It's more like, look, we know technology because we're a bunch of experts. Everyone out in the wastes are a bunch of damn savages. We want to take technology away from them because it's like giving a machine gun to a monkey and hoard it for ourselves. It's a super fascist, kind of vaguely racist society that they've built. And Bethesda's more like...
pragmatic.
Bethesda's more like, you know, well, technology's really strong and you know, maybe we should just kind of police technology a little bit. And it's still a little too nice, a little too clean. But it is much closer here than it was in 3, where it was just, again, giant Walker Robotron of...
terrible.
What do people feel about the art style being so radically different in this game than it has been in previous ones?
It's pretty. I like...
Oh, it's so much better.
Thank you. I mean, I'm not really complaining.
Well... I think the color in it makes sense. I saw some people complain, oh, this game has too much color, which is, like, the dumbest complaint ever, just as a basis. But, like, I think it has reason, because everything that's living in this world is brown, a kind of a moldy green, gray, and anything that had been painted or anything that had existed before the Fallout... is a bright color. They're all either like paint or technology or lights. Those are where the bright colors come from. And so in that way it makes sense that if you want to have color in your game, you would use the artificial stuff to bring color, not necessarily trees and flowers and shit like that. So I think it works.
I never noticed that. Now I appreciate that much more.
Thank you. Raider shit, though. Because, like, the Raider shit is actually kind of what I'm coming around to here. Like... because, like, I don't know why, but for some reason, I really just don't care for the way, like, the Raiders and the pipe guns constitute, like, kind of a constant aesthetic in this game. Like, I really think that there's something kind of...
I think they were afraid, especially with a recent Mad Max, of going to leather biker. I think they tried to step back to more of like rust and metal. I don't know if it worked. Yeah.
I guess it just, it feels like I'm playing a Stalker game. Like I don't know. Like it's a little too, I keep using this as like a derogatory like description, and I really apologize to anyone who actually attended the program, but it feels really Full Sail. Like it feels like they went to a bunch of recent like sort of computer arts graduates and said, "Hey, we need a bunch of post-apocalyptic raiders that look like cool, polished post-apocalyptic raiders." And they're like, "Oh, okay, let's come up with these kind of like self-contained aesthetics of like overcoats and like covered faces that could fit in any apocalypse."
I love that these things are both true. The art is both amateurish and vastly improved, and that really says something.
I mean... It's Bethesda. I don't think I would ever describe any of their art as not amateurish. Like, I really don't understand how they haven't fixed this by now, but in general, though, they've always had terrible art direction in every Bethesda game I can think of playing.
The Institute looks great for a different video game.
Yeah, it looks like it belongs in, like, a new Bioshock game. There's a lot of things in this game that actually reminds me of Bioshock, especially the character design, like, the way that the characters are animated. Like, the NPCs, if you look at their faces, they're very similar to how faces were modeled in Bioshock Infinite. The same kind of, like, are you cut out of wood kind of thing? Like, it looks good, but you don't really look like a person. Kind of thing.
They have a very small range of expressions. That's Fallout 4. Do we want to talk about...
Well, that's an hour on Fallout 4.
But I wanted to talk about Steam controllers.
Nope. Next week.
Damn you. Actually, I do want to have a hangout for Steam controllers. Play with the Steam controller and do something stupid like Total War is the idea.
All right. So, Josh really wants to talk about Steam controllers, so I guess you guys know what to look forward to next week. Tune in next week, where we'll be talking about Fallout 4 some more. Later, guys!